Welcome to the Mommy Mentor Podcast. This parenting bullshit is hard, am I right? From sleepless nights with newborns to sleepless nights with teens, from potty training to sending them off to college, I'm here to get you through it all as your mommy mentor. My name is Erin Kennedy Health, and I'm a registered nurse and a mom of three. I have professional experience with moms and babies as a postpartum nurse, which keeps the postpartum and newborn experience fresh in my mind. And I have 17 years of parenting experience as well. For information on this podcast and more, go to mommymentorpodcast.com. Parents, grab a cup of whatever you prefer and settle in for the next episode. Welcome, Mommy Mentor audience. We have another empowering episode. This time we are interviewing Tabitha Thorell. I have the pleasure of diving into the world of dynamic entrepreneurship. She's also a speaker, an author, a coach, a podcaster, and a real estate investor. Not only that, she is a devoted mother and wife. She has five incredible girls, and her family lies at the heart of Tabitha's values, propelling her to embrace the joys, the challenges of motherhood with an unwavering dedication. With over 16 years of experience as a fitness coach, Tabitha's energetic, motivating approach earned her recognition as a driving force in the industry. Today, we'll delve into Tabitha's expertise navigating the complexities of raising children across diverse age groups and explore her insights on teaching kids in our next episode, because this is a double feature, on teaching kids about money management and the art of working smarter, not harder. Join me as we glean wisdom from Tabitha and her wealth of experience. Welcome, Tabitha.
Well, hello. That was quite the introduction. I don't know if I can even live up to that.
Well, it's all true. You deserve it. It's all true.
Happy to be here. Thank you so much. It's an honor. I'm elated to be here and excited to share any sort of wisdom or insight that I can to your audience.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah.
So let's dive right in. I'll just ask with my first question. You navigate the unique challenges of raising children with significant age gaps, and that can be daunting. Could you share some insights or strategies that you found particularly helpful in fostering unity and understanding among siblings of varying ages?
Yeah. So first I'll premise that my youngest is one, soon to be two, and they range all the way up to my oldest daughter, who's soon to be 15. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have toddlers, we have teenagers, preteens, all in between. There's a 6.5 year gap between my third child and my fourth child, between Omni and Ivy. And so to kind of preface this, my older three were really close, and they love, we come from a big family. So they continually for 3 years begged me to have another baby. And at first I just thought, oh, you know, little girls, they love their babies. My second oldest loves babies. Like, she is like the baby whisperer. So, you know, you kind of play it off like, oh yeah, that's cute. And we'd have like, we have a lot of nieces and nephews. Me and my husband both have big families. So, you know, we just thought, oh, they just have baby fever. And so someone would have a baby and, you know, we just think, oh, they just did that. But literally for 3 years, every night when we say our prayers, they would be like, God, just make mommy have another baby. Like, you can do that. And I love that my kids prayed that because they believed it. And I believe, you know, God can do amazing thing. And so they wouldn't even ask me. They're just like straight to the source, like, okay, God, have another baby. And I would pray about it too. And I just wasn't ready. My third child, Omni, is amazing, but she's very free spirited, just kind of fiery. You know, if you have one of those, it's just a little more of a challenge as a parent. Like, you're excited to see them grow, but it was hard and it challenged me a lot. And so I just wasn't ready. And I was also coming into a lot of business things, and I like to be there for my kids. And so I didn't know if I took this, you know, had more kids, if I was going to have to, you know, postpone some of those things. And so I just really prayed about it for a long time. And finally, after 3 years, I kind of thought we're either going to have one or we're not. Cause I was going to be, this 36 at the time, you know, our youngest was 6. And I was like, we're either doing this or we're not. So I said, okay, God, I surrender. if you want me to have another baby, we're going to do this. And some of your audience members are struggling with that right now. You're thinking like, should I have another baby, or do we want more, or what's this? Like, you know, as women, we're nurturers and we love our kids, but at what point, you know, who are we listening to? And I didn't want it to be outside sources, even my daughters. And so I did a lot of prayer and actually did a fast on this. And I just surrendered. And I said, okay, if this is what you want, I'm willing. If it's not, let's close the chapter. Let's, you know, move on and go for it. And we were pregnant within 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And then when we had our fourth, we thought, that's it, our bonus baby, good to go. And we had our fourth, and literally like the day we got back, my husband said, I said this in the hospital. My story is, we were at home. I remember sitting on the bed and I remember thinking she needed a friend, because my older kids were all going to be like in their activities, and then they're going to graduate, and they're, you know, this Ivy's going to be stuck with mom and dad, like old mom and dad, like, what are we doing? So I thought, okay, is this just the hormones, you know, because you have this baby and they're so precious, or is this really what I'm meant to do? And so I knew if my husband was on board without me having any influence over him, then it was a God thing. Like if he says, yes, let's do this. But if he was hesitant at all, like, I don't know, we already have four, this is scary, then I would just put it to rest. And I remember sitting on our bed one night, it was late, we just got done with like a midnight feeding, and we were actually putting laundry away, as you do when you have so many kids and you do it when you can. And I said, hey, what do you think about having like Ivy having another sibling? And he said, what's one more? And I was like, oh my gosh. And I say all this because it didn't happen. It wasn't like, it wasn't that it wasn't planned, but it definitely wasn't in my original plan. And so I just had to surrender. And there's some women listening here where we're so overwhelmed with our control because, you know, it's scary and we have worries with kids and we have all the responsibilities and all the things that we want to teach them, that sometimes we're just so close-knit on the abundance and the opportunities. Now, I'm not saying you have to have five kids at all. Like, that's not for everybody. But even if you're thinking maybe I should have, you know, two instead of one, or three instead of, you know, or whatever it is for you, or maybe just say, no, we're good, we're done. And just, but surrendering to that, because maybe you're thinking, oh, we're supposed to have four and you have two beautiful kids. Just surrender to that and just allow it to happen and enjoy where you're at. Because with our fourth and fifth, we were able to enjoy things a lot better because of the viewpoints we had from our oldest into our youngest. And to kind of answer your question, to navigate the age group, you know, age gap, and to bring them in, I am very blessed that my girls have been amazing. Like, they really love, we call them the tinies. They're our two youngest. They love the tinies. They love to hang out with them. They love to spend time with them. Now they are realizing like, oh, mom was right. When they're toddlers, they get into my makeup and they want to get into my stuff. And I get mad about that, you know? And so there's definitely some things where I said, okay, remember how we talked about this? I know you love them, but you have to keep your stuff up and it's your responsibility. They're two. Yes, we teach them. They don't do that, but they don't understand it yet. And so learning that responsibility and stepping up in our family and just taking ownership of the, in that conflict, because it's very easy to blame the two-year-old, right? It's very easy to be like, but, and they're supposed to know, mom. And my 9-year-old says that a lot because she gets told that a lot. And I said, yes, but you're 9 and they're 1. And they're 2. And, you know, yes, we teach them not to do that, but you have to learn to put your stuff up. You are responsible for your things, your actions, your attitude towards them. Are you being short with them? Like, those types of things have been a very good learning thing for them. And we really try not to spoil the two little ones because they do get showered with everything. And my older ones are always giving them candy and ice cream and stuff that they never had when they were little, at the abundance that they have it. But again, I have to surrender control at some point and say, okay, when am I being like this anal overbearing, like, oh my gosh, you can't have that sucker. Or when am I allowing the joy and freedom of just them being older sisters and loving on them? And, you know, they're not poisoning them. They're not, you know, doing crazy stuff. And so finding that balance for me has been challenging, but very rewarding, because I just get to sit back and just see them have joy like with the younger ones and not put all of my expectations on that. So it's been definitely challenged, but so much more rewarding.
For sure. Yeah, I can't relate to your story about choosing to have another child. Our original plan was four, and we have three. And the way that ended up was that my son decided for us that he was just going to be the last one. He said, I'm the last one. Thank you. He ended up giving me some antibodies across my placenta like last
Oh.
minute. And my doctor was like, no more babies for you. Your immune system wouldn't like that. And I was like, okay. Because my immune system would basically attack any baby that I were to become
Yes,
pregnant with.
yes.
So I was like,
And that's
okay.
perfect. Like, and that's the thing. It's like we just have to surrender. I come from five. My husband comes from six. We're both the youngest. If you would have told me in high school I was gonna have five, I would have been like, no. Like, I was thinking maybe four. I was more on like the three bandwagon, you know, but my husband loves kids, and so I was like, okay, we'll see. So I mean, that's perfect for you. And
Exactly.
I so women on here just need to be encouraged that what is perfect for you, like
Exactly.
it's not your mom, it's not your mother-in-law, it's and not necessarily it's not that it's not your husband, you guys need to come together on this, but you know, express what it is. Like, it was it an expectation that was put on you? Is it a like that a vision that you saw that because of a certain thing, or is it really what your heart's desire? And I had to put a lot of my own selfish ambitions, because I'm very ambitious, I'm very driven, I've been an entrepreneur for 16 years, so like, but I also raised my kids, they never went to daycare, I didn't want to put them in daycare, I wanted to be the source of their influence. And so to balance the manage those expectations was very difficult, and it caused a lot of frustration when I had my older three, because I had conflicts of what I thought a mom was supposed to be, the kind of mom I wanted to be, and then giving that to my kids.
Yes, you can. I totally can relate. Like, life happens and you get busy with other things, and you're, like you said, you're a very driven person. And, you know, being a mom isn't all you are, even though it's like the most important thing you'll ever do.
Yes.
It's still not just who you are alone, and you wanted to like focus on other stuff, but how do I balance, you know, being a good mom and being there for them and also being there for myself in the form of continuing my business ventures and things like that.
Yes.
Totally hear you. We got to listen to what's right for us, and you're definitely right, being like introspective and thinking like, why am I doing this? What was the reason here, you know? And I think my reason for having my original number before was because I have three older sisters, three half, well, I have four total older sisters, but three half sisters that are oldest. And it was the three of them in the first marriage for my dad. And I remember so much my middle sister always talking about the middle child, the middle child, the middle child, you know, because they grew up in a house where there were three of them and she was the middle child. And apparently that doesn't go well for people. I don't know. I'm the youngest. But I can relate to her stories, and I was like, well, I don't want that to ever happen to any of my kids, so I'll have four, you know, because I didn't want just two. And then I had twins the first time. So it was like, well, you're having two now, and so if you have one more, that's automatically three, so you kind of have to have four. So I was thinking four, and then my son made that decision for me that I didn't, you know, medically it's not the best idea for me to have more babies. So it was kind of nice that I didn't have to make that decision. But like, you're right, because I didn't even really think about that until you said that. I had to surrender to that idea. I had to let my plan go and just be like, okay, well, this is what it is, and it's okay, and deal with my expectation and my plans versus what was actually meant for my life.
And when you can do that, it does give you a sense of peace. I believe that parenting has so many things in it that we cannot control.
Oh,
And there's
100%.
so many waves and emotions and things that even if, you know, from your first to the last, it doesn't matter. There's so many new things. And for somebody who likes variety and likes it, it's exciting, but it still has its moments of worry, stress, anxiety, all of those things, because we love and care for this human so much, and we don't know what the end is going to be. And we can either look at that as exciting and exhilarating, or we can look at that as scary and worry and anxious. And I choose every day to do it as excitement and enticing and all of the adventure. Now, does that mean that I don't worry about my kids? Does that mean that stuff comes up and my emotion doesn't take over me? No, but I stop and I say, I get to choose this. I get to choose if I am reacting in this way, if I'm looking forward in this way, because it's all relative and it's all perspective. Our mind doesn't know what's reality and what's not. So if I worry about something, like my daughter's starting to drive, she's gonna be 15. So she gets like her school permit and she's been driving. Now I can sit in the passenger seat and I can be anxious and worried and I can think about all the things that could go wrong. Or I can sit there and I can just, you know, manage my expectations and listen to music and just talk lightheartedly to her, not distract her and, you know, encourage her and just, and gently teach her like, hey, when this happens, we just do this and not overreact and smart respond and be excited that she's going to be independent. And the joy, I remember when I got my license, the joy, even just like driving 2 blocks to the convenience store, you're like, I'm going to drive when you could totally walk, you know, it's just like, and I can revel in that excitement and that joy for her. And it's hard because we see things differently as a parent, but we have to remember sometimes like they're teenagers or they're, you know, preteens and everything's new and exciting for them. Let's not put our own preconceived judgments and notions and experiences on their experiences and guide them in a way that's open and surrender as well. You know, we live in a world right now where it's funny because everyone says like, it's so different and it's changed. And I would hate to grow up in this era. They said that about the 50s. They said that about the 60s. They said that about the 70s. They said that about the 80s. I mean, I'm not sure the 90s, they were probably our most mellow. There was kind of that grunge rock maybe was like the hardest thing. But you know, like every generation has the thing. And yes, right now it is. Social media is out there. And you know, I tell my girls, don't put something out there that you don't want everybody to see and to see for the rest of your life. You know, and that is a reality that they live in. Does that mean that it's necessarily harder, or does it just mean that we have to teach them differently, manage their expectations differently, switch gears in their perception on what they believe on the internet, what they're believing in their social feed of like Snapchat, Instagram, and all of those things? Do we hide it from them and say, no, you can't do that? Or do we allow them to do it and give them boundaries? And then when they cross those boundaries, they have consequences because it's just another tool. It's another outlet. It's another thing. It's like, you know, in the 90s, all the kids went to the mall, you know, and you dropped your kids off there for 4 hours. Yeah. Nowadays, oh my gosh, I would not drop my kids off. And I live in a very rural Midwest town, you know? And so there's all these like different scary things. It's how we manage our mind around it and allow the positivity to come in through us. And then transfer that to our kids and say, yes, there are definitely consequences. And this world is definitely different than it was even 10 years ago, but it's going to be different in 10 more years. So if we don't teach them resilience about what changes with technology in the world, then we're just setting them up to fail. I want to raise amazing adults.
True,
I'm not about, I'm not about just raising kids. Kids are gonna do wrong and grow up. And then when they're 18, you think it's over. No, I want to raise amazing adults that know how to make good decisions and change their mindset and have great perspectives. And that's just the way that, that we parent. And that's the way that I feel like is going to be the change makers, because they're the ones who are going to have, you know, make those decisions and make those perception shifts for a better world.
Yes, I would agree with you on that, that I don't, I mean, we for a time didn't allow our children on social media, but then when we felt that they were like mature enough and old enough to handle like what comes with it, we were like, okay, green light, but here's the rules that go along with it. And and the guidance and, you know, just like talking about how, okay, what's your username and what's your profile picture and what's appropriate to post and what's not appropriate to post and how the internet is forever and that kind of thing. So yeah, you're right. Like our parents didn't have to teach us about that, but our parents were probably teaching us about things that we don't have to teach our kids about because of the, you know, nuances of technology and et cetera. So I totally hear you on like not being like, no, you can't do that, but more and keeping them away out of fear, but more so just like giving them the tools and the guidance to do it well and to do it safely.
Right. And everybody has their own opinion. And I'm not sitting here saying like, okay, you got to let your kid on Snapchat.
No, oh no, 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 no.
Like But it's a lot, like asking yourself why. Like, because, and I say this because this is a big conflict in households. I know it is. And if this is arising anything in your audience, it's because it's a hot topic. It's a button pusher, right? Like, it's something that your kids, want. Like my kids, my 9-year-old always wants a phone. And I'm like, no, you don't get a phone. Like, that's not happening. And it's not even a discussion for me, because it's like, it's already decided. It's when you're wavering because you're not quite sure why. Maybe the world told you shouldn't do this, or your mom told you shouldn't do this, or the teacher said you shouldn't do this. And you're kind of thinking like, well, why? And so the only reason why it's such a hot topic is because you're having an internal conflict. And I know this from experience, because I was so against my kids being like on YouTube. And I'm like, they're looking up like DIYs and they're watching like little kids play with Barbies. Like, how is that bad? Now, consuming anything in front of a screen for hours and hours and hours is bad, but we're talking like 20 minutes, and I'd be like, no, you can't do that. And then they'd be like, well, why not? And, because it's bad for you. And, but it was, I didn't have a full grasp of why. And it was because I knew that it wasn't enlightening their brain. It was kind of, doing a little bit of damage and like, all of those things. And I didn't know how to explain that to my 8-year-old. And so I was having my own internal conflict, and I needed to sit with my own thoughts and then sit with them and be like, okay, if you like this DIY thing, okay, that's fine. But this is kind of off limits, or this is why. It's like if you were to eat a whole entire thing of Oreos, your stomach wouldn't feel good. If you watch an hour of other kids playing and you're not playing and moving, that's what it does to your brain. And so when I could really sit down with my own opinion of it and not what other people thought and what other people were thinking, and then like, okay, this makes sense to me. How can I relay this to my, whatever, if it was my 7-year-old or my 10-year-old at the time, and thinking through that those things and being okay with it for myself and my family. And again, nobody else has expectations, no people pleasing. This was my parenting. This was what I felt was good for me and my family. And there was a basis, and I felt solid with it. Like saying my kids do not get a phone until they're 13, feel totally solid. Like it's not up for discussion. There's no debate. I mean, my 9-year-old really debates me, but she knows it's not going to happen. There's no internal conflict. There's no like wearing me down. As moms, we're wore down over and over because we want good for our kids. We want to make them happy. We want, a blessed life for them. And kids are persistent. They are the best persuade. They're the best salesmen in the world, and they can sell you on anything, and you want to give them the world. But at the same time, if you're giving them everything and you're giving into them, what is that really giving them?
That makes sense. Yeah, like I hear you on the wearing you down thing, and what is the reason that you're so highly opposed to whatever it is that your child is asking for, and then they keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, and you're so bothered by them continuing to ask. So you have an internal conflict and it is bothersome to you, and you're not just like, nope, because that's, like you're not settled in your decision, and because it keeps eating at you. And I can kind of think of a great example. My daughter wanted a leopard gecko forever. And I'm not a fan of caged animals in houses. Why? Because I grew up in a house that we had my sister's biology project. It was a Japanese quail, and she took it home, and we had a Japanese quail, and it lived in a cage, and it was gross, and it was like a bird, and I just, and the poop in the cage, right? And then had a rabbit, same story, had gerbils, same story. And I just like remember having to clean out the cages, and then they just smell bad, and it's just disgusting and blech. And that was my issue with that whole thing. And we had always said, no, blanket statement rule, no caged animals in our house. Like cats, dogs, sure, totally fine. If it has to live in a cage or an aquarium, it's not happening. But then she kept asking and kept asking. And I mean, she was older by this time, like 15, 16, just kept asking, telling me her reasons. She came up with a whole like research proposal on how lizards can be emotional support animals,
Oh, that's awesome.
and like how much money everything would cost, and she would pay for everything, and if there was a difference in the electricity bill because of the lamp and everything, that she would
That is
pay it.
awesome.
And like she was ready, right? And I was just like, okay, what is the deal with this decision? Like, why am I so upset about it? Like, why am I saying no? And ultimately, I knew it was because of my childhood background with the caged animals and they smell bad and all this stuff and like my previous experience with that. And I just looked at her one day and I said, "Okay, you do everything, all of it, and if it smells, we have problems. If you're not doing holding up your end of the bargain, we have problems." I was like, "You need to make sure you have a backup plan for if this is not working out." And she did have one, her teacher at school. Her leopard gecko had just died, so she was willing to take the if it didn't work out. The leopard gecko has now been with us over a year, and I still have not touched it or held it. But like, I love it because she loves it, you know?
Right.
And
And it
she's
taught her so
been,
many
it
things.
did. She's
Like,
been
I love that she made
100%.
her proposal to you. I love that she was like all about this. And, my kids want another dog. And I'm like, no, because I know I'm going to be the one that takes care of it. And I'm like, and they're like, well, no. I'm like, no, you have school. Like, I mean, I love you guys. And I know that when you come home, like you will, but like, sorry. And we have to. So it's not like I'm being, it's just there's a matter too of a mom, especially like with pets. It's like, I'm gonna have to take care of it. I have one more thing that I want to do, but I love what she did, and I love that you looked internally and said, you know what, this is my thing. But there are rules and there's boundaries too. And it's not just like, okay, you get this, like you have to, fulfill on your stuff. And that's teaching them. That's what the lessons are. Every time my kids come and say something, they want something and I tell them no, but this is what I preface it with. I always say, but I want you to keep asking if it's something you really want. Like, do not give up on your dream. Like, even from me, I tell them that all the time. I'm like, don't let anyone, especially me or daddy, stop you from your dream of wanting it. Because we will be the ones, because we're the closest with you. And don't let us, if it's something you really want, but you have to do the internal work of what that entails. Like, I can't want it for you. My daughter, she used to always want to be an actress. And she was little and she's very humorous and she was in acting and stuff. And now she's like, Mom, I just don't even think I want to do it because, like, in her mind, it was like she wanted to be a famous actress, right? And she was like, I don't even want to be famous because, like, I see these people and, like, they don't have privacy and, like, everything's like on social media and everything is people are so critical of them. And I'm like, I like that she sees that, but I'm like, but that doesn't mean you can't act. It just means she's switching things. Now, was she a dedicated, like, practicing lines and doing all of her extracurricular and acting? No. She just naturally has a very humorous sense of humor. And so she can do funny things. I'm like, you can do a lot of things with that skill set. You don't have to like go and be an actress. But with anything my kids want, even like with the phone, even my 9-year-old, I'm like, you can keep asking. Like, that's fine. No, I mean, be persistent, but you have to be creative and persuasive. And I teach my kids that. I'm like, if you want your sisters to do something, you have to be persuasive. What's in it for them? It that's just really what it is. We live in a world where it's like, what's in it for them? Is it even just like a feeling of love, of giving, of contribution, of whatever? But you have to put yourself in the other person's shoes if you want somebody to do something. And so just even those little lessons that you can teach them, now you have to continue to teach them. Kids are not like one hit wonders. They remember, they do remember. And they learn faster, especially before the age of 8. But you have to be persistent in those little things of saying, over and over and over. And finally, it'll click. It will. It eventually does click. But I think that's the thing with parenting. You don't know you're doing it right until, like, not that it's too late, but like years and years and years
You
down
don't,
the line. Yeah. So, that's the disheartening part of it is you kind of always want to know, like, am I doing it right? Is this gonna, are they gonna turn out good? I don't know. And I think that's where the worry comes in. And that's where I have to choose to say, no, I'm gonna live in the joy and excitement right now.
Because you're 1000% right. Like, parenting is a long game. We don't know how we're doing at it until they grow up, essentially, and you kind of see what kind of humans they turn out to be. Like, you can see little glimpses of it along the way, but like, you're always questioning your abilities and if you're doing it right and if you're doing it well. And it's a long game, and you have to wait until you see examples like that where you're like, oh, wow, she did put a whole argument together for this. She was ready. And like, where did she learn that? Oh, probably because her mom somewhere along the way taught her how to argue. And argue appropriately, like not be disrespectful, but have something, worth arguing about and worth arguing for, and how to do it constructively. That's, As a speaker and a coach, you've likely encountered parents grappling with balancing attention and resources among children with diverse needs. How do you suggest parents prioritize their time and their energy efficiently to support each child's individual growth and development? How are you finding balance across the age groups and also within your life? Because you're clearly a working mother.
Right. So with our two tinies this year, well, it would have been at the beginning of the school year. So in August of 23, we hired a part-time nanny, which was totally new for me. But I had been looking for over a year because I knew that even with these babies, I wanted to advance in my career, in our businesses, essentially. And I said, I really didn't want to put them in daycare. Nothing against daycare. If you're a mom on here and you feel bothered by that, nothing against it. I saw daycares. I don't want to say the neglect, but just like, especially with babies and stuff, like there's just not enough help for all the babies. And I just wanted my kids. I mean, selfishly, I wanted them to be the, you know, number one thing in that, you know, caregiver's life. And so I just didn't want to put them in a position to where they weren't going to get that. So I kind of went on a search for a nanny, but I didn't know exactly how I was going to pay for it because, you know, my business wasn't taking off and my husband, you know, provides, but it's not like we were, you know, eight figure earners, you know? And so just, and I didn't know what a nanny costs. This was also new to me. And so I actually looked at like an au pair of bringing in somebody and we have like an extra room and stuff like that. And so I actually reached out and I was like, ooh, this would be perfect because the hours and like the pricing point was going to be in it. And I was like, this is great. And my kids would experience a new culture and all this stuff. Unfortunately, where I live, there was not a sponsor that was lived close enough to, cause they have to have a sponsor that checks in on them, that makes sure that they're being taken care of and not taken advantage of and stuff. And so I actually reached out to a friend and she's like, oh, I might be interested in being a sponsor. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. She's like, but not right now, my kids and them, maybe in the next couple of years. And I'm like, So, but I put it out there. I did it. I took that road anyway. And I was like, okay, well, that didn't work out. So I put some feelers out for some people who I knew would possibly nanny and they were full. And I said, okay, well, if things change, like I'm interested. And I just, again, I surrendered to it. I didn't stress over it like I might've in the past. I just said, okay, God, when you're ready for me to have a nanny, you're going to provide one. I'm still going to do the work. I'm going to actively look for people, but I'm not going to stress about this. And so I did, I just kind of like let it go and still kind of putting feelers out there thinking about, I mean, I was constantly like, how am I going to grow this business? Cause the nooks and crannies of my day were not, cause I had a newborn and a 1-year-old and they did not nap at the same time. So I couldn't even use nap time. Neither one of them were sleeping through the night. So, I mean, there was just not any nooks in my day. Right. And so it'd be when my husband came home. So it'd be an hour here, an hour there. And it just was not sufficient. So summer came, my older two wanted to try out nannying and my office building is just 2 blocks from my house. So I said, okay, we're going to do this for about 3 to 4 hours a day over nap time. You guys each take a tiny. And they were 1 and 2 at the time. And I said, I'm just 2 blocks away. And so we did that. And so I was able to kind of start working more on my business. And then a friend of ours said, hey, the kids I'm nannying for are kind of aging out and I'm looking for a position. What do you have to offer? And we worked out something and it was great. And it was actually great on both sides. Financially, it worked for us. Financially, it was great for her. And like, it all worked out. So I'm like, yes. And so I say that because people might come into your life that you don't even know. Like she helps me with laundry. She picks up when I come home, my house is like organized and it's fantastic. I can actually enjoy my kids instead of coming home and feeling like, oh my gosh, now I got to clean. Now I got to do laundry. Now I got to cook. So, you know, and so I was able to find that in somebody to help with the load. And that was hard for me because I don't like to ask for help. And so I, again, surrendered and was like, bring the right person to me. And it worked. It's been fantastic. And so that's what we have done. So I work in the afternoons and I really would like to work. Well, here's the thing. When my kids come home from school, I usually go home. I see them for about a half hour, ask how their day is, get their snack, see them. And then I go up to the office for about another hour and a half or so. And then I come home. That's my schedule. Cause I want to see them when they come home from school because my little ones, I want the mornings with them. I have to kind of sacrifice a little bit of time with my older ones, but a lot of times they have homework or activities anyway, or they just want their me time, you know? And so they kind of do that. And then when I come home, then we have family time. We eat together as a family. We watch a show, we play games, we do whatever. And so for us, that's what works. Are there still moments when I feel guilty, like not being at home with them the whole time that they're home from school and being with my little ones 24/7? Yes, because there's something in me that says I have to be around them 24/7. But what I've learned is my kids are a blessing. And when I can bless other people by them being in their life, their smile, their joy, that's blessing them. And I had to kind of put my pride down on that and be like, okay, do I want to be here 24/7 because I want to prove to people that I can do it all? Or am I truly because I want to be the main influence, but can I achieve that with being on top of who I allow in their life, for one? And then the moments that I'm with them, I'm with them. I'm
Right.
not doing work while XYZ, right? Because being the head of the household, I mean, I still cook, I still have to pick up, even though we do have, you know, someone that helps. When you have five kids, in 1 minute, things can be flipped over upside down, right? And there are things that I still have to tend to, and kids and sick dogs, like all this stuff. And so there's still that element. And I just had to surrender to the things that didn't matter and focus on the things that did in those moments and the joy and the chaos. And again, I think my word really this year, I didn't really have a word this year. I know everyone, it just is surrender. It's just saying, like, I surrender to whatever you have for me, like, whatever that is for me, and managing it all. But it's more than just managing it, it's navigating where you want to go. And for me, it's always about our family unity, our connections with each other, our communications. You know, love and kindness. Are we building this? Is it fun? Is it joy? Are we working for God's kingdom? Are we bettering ourselves so that we can be the light? Like all of those things. Or is it just like a selfish ambition, or I want more, or I want this? Because I am very ambitious. I am very determined on goals and certain things. And I have to check that at the door sometimes, because when you're a mom and you're raising kids, especially five girls, they're watching you and they're going to model what you do. No matter what you say, they will model what you do. And I have to check myself at the door. And I did this yesterday because I let financial overwhelm. And when I do that, then I just, it's like word vomit, you know? And I'm like, you guys need to do this and you need to do this. And the yard needs to be picked up. And it's like, you know, you just go in this like overwhelm. And my daughter even said that later. She goes, Mom, you just came in and just started like saying a whole bunch of stuff and then left. And she almost laughed at it because she like, they kind of know me, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, mom's like overwhelmed with something, you know. And I had to think, like, oh, why'd I do that, you know? And when I do the, like yesterday, it wasn't a big thing and there was no need for me to like come and apologize. But if I do, you know, do something to where I feel like I need to apologize, I do. I go to them and I say, you know what? Mommy was wrong. And I'm sorry I yelled. And I don't preface it with, because you left your shoes out and I tripped on them, or because you didn't do your chores, or I was this. They don't need to know my excuse or my reason. They just need to know that I'm sorry for what I did, because they need to know when they do wrong and they come to me, they don't need to preface it with an excuse, because I don't really care what the excuse is. I just want to know that you took ownership of it, you're sorry, and we move on.
Agreed. 1,000% agreed. I've definitely apologized to my kids for behaving badly, quote unquote, before as well. It teaches them that skill as well. You know, you don't, and like you said, you don't want to hear the excuses. You don't care why they did it. You want to hear that they're sorry and that they realize that what they did was not okay.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
So I fully agree with that. And I've definitely done so myself. And I think that that's something that is a little bit different about our generation than our parents' generation, because I definitely never got an apology from my parents about something that they
Oh,
did.
no. No. Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really appreciate your time today. And this is the first episode, everyone, with Tabitha. So look for the next one coming up very soon. Mommies, that was Tabitha Thorell. She is an expert in not only parenting, clearly with her multiple years of experience, but also entrepreneurship, fitness, real estate, investing. She has a multitude of skills that she can share with you. You can check her website out at www.tabtabthorell.com. She has a Facebook for her coaching group, and you can find her coaching group on Facebook, Live Fierce Coaching and Consulting. You can also find her on Instagram at Tab Thorell. She also has a podcast called What Went Wrong, and you can find that on YouTube or anywhere you get your podcasts. And she also has a TikTok at Coach Tab Thorell. So you have multiple ways that you can get a hold of her and engage with her if you would like her assistance. Like she said, she has that website that she just listed, and you can go check that out on how to learn to develop generational wealth for your family and your children. And once again, you can find me on my website at www.mommymentorpodcast.com. You can find me on Instagram or TikTok, both at My Mommy Mentor. So please like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast. I would really appreciate it. And if you have any other ideas that you would like to talk about or things that you would like me to cover in my podcast, please let me know. You can send me an email from my webpage. I really appreciate your time today, mommies, and I hope you have a good whatever time of day you're listening.